Tamura Daf Choftes. Correct? That's today's Daf Choftes. The Gemara and Daf Choftes some of these discusses at great length the sugya of Esnan Zona. Esnan Zona is where a man pays a woman to sin and he gives her specifically an animal. That's the simplest case. He gives her an animal that would normally be fit to be offered as a korban. And then the woman shows up at the Beis HaMikdash with the animal that was given to her as payment for her service. And she presents the animal to the Kohen and says, I want to bring a korban to Hashem. Kohen says, where'd you get this animal from? Oh, I worked for it. What was payment for an act of znus. The Torah says the Farish in the Pasuk in the Torah that one may not bring an Esnan Zona to the Beis Hashem. You don't bring the higher, Esnan means the higher of a Zona, as a carbon to the Beis Hashem. So the Gemara here discusses all the various laws of an Esnan Zona. Let me read you a little piece of Gemara. Omar Rav, Echad Esnan Zohar, V'echad Esnan Kol Arayus Osir. Let's say a man gives another man. One man gives another man an animal for the purpose of Znus, Mishkav Zohar. Okay, so what is the halach? Can this other person take that animal and bring it to a carbon? Or V'echad Esnan Kol Arayus, let's say a man has relations with an Eshes Ish. A zona is a woman who is a single woman, she's not married. Let's say a man gives a woman to a married woman, or let's say a man gives an animal to a relative, incest. Can she use the animal for a carbon? Also, so this is forbidden.
What's the definition of zona?
What?
Is it a professional prostitute or is it?
Yes. I mean, no.
So you have a relation with a single woman one time and she gives you
a... Something was given in exchange.
So something was given to any act that was it's outside the framework of marriage. Okay, anything. So the law is, the law of Esnan Zon is not only where a man approaches a single woman and says, gives her the animal for the purpose of Znus. The law of Esnan Zon applies to any type of relationship which is forbidden according to the Torah. Echad Esnan Zohar, v'echad Esnan Kolarayus Osor, chutz me Esnan Ishto Nida. Let's say one's own wife is a Nida, so it's forbidden. It is forbidden for him to be with her. And he says, let's overlook the sin. And she says, no, she's a religious woman. That's what she does. But I'll pay you. I'll give you an animal for the sin. And she accepts the animal and she commits the sin. Is she allowed to use the animal for a carbon? The answer is yes. That is the exception to the rule because a wife is not called a zona. A wife is a wife. He did an avera. She was a nida. But it's not called a zona. My time. How do you know that? My time is zonuksif. It says in the Torah the word zona. And a wife, a hal lav zona. A wife is not a zona. Yeah. That's how it is. The Levi Amar, Levi disagrees. Levi says, even if a man. What?
The zona pasuk.
No, the pasuk, Dvarim Chav Gimel. Dvarim Chav Gimel. Let me find the pasuk. We quote you the time. Dvarim Chav Gimel. He says, I think it is. Okay. Shaifdin. Let me quote you the time. Okay. Okay. So it says? Beis Hashem.
Yud Tes.
Chav Gimel Yud Tes. Okay, so the Esnan Zona Umechir Kel. That's another lacha. Bartering. If you barter an animal for a dog, it's another special lacha. Beis Hashem Elokecha Luchol Neder for Neder Ki Se'avas Hashem Elokecha Gamish Shinehem. It is an abomination. These two types of animals, an animal that has been given as payment for a Zona, and an animal that has been exchanged for a dog, is an abomination to be brought as an offering to Hashem. Period. So we have your second opinion.
Whether it's considered payment versus just like a thank you gift.
Yeah, the Gemara talks about that at great length over here. And this stuff, that is the topic of this stuff. Daf Chavtes, and Tumur talks about all the rules. And the Chanami, let's say it was done, there was no arrangement made in advance, and then afterwards he gives it as a gift. That would not necessarily be a violation of the rule. The Gemara discusses all the details, all the rules. It has to be understanding from the very beginning. In the Chanami, well, there are a lot of halachas about Esnan Zona. So here we have the law, and then we have two opinions. What happens to me is a woman, Esnan Zachar, also as Kutz, Esnan Zon, Ishtay Nid, my timer. Zonik Siv, Halav Zoni. The Levi disagrees with Rav. Levi says, Afilu Ishtay Nid, even if a man gives an animal to his wife when she is Nid as payment for the Avera, my timer, because he focuses on a word later in the Pasik, Toevok Siv. It's an abomination. It is an abomination for a man to be with his wife when she is a nida. This is an abomination. So therefore, it's good enough in order to prohibit the animal being offered as a sacrifice to Hashem. Now the Gemara says, "What avihi?" And now the Gemara is a question: "V'levi nami v'yaksiv zona." But according to Levi, it says the word to'eva. But what drasha will Levi do with the word zona? According to Rav, it says the word zona. Zona comes to exclude ishtay nida. Because ishtay nida is not a zona. That's a word which is here for a drasha. Levi disagrees with that drasha. Levi focuses on the word to'eva. So Levi has available now the word zona. What is the Torah telling us with the word zona? So here's what I want to get to for our topic today. Omar Lucha, Levi will answer you, I need the word zona for another drasha. Hahi zona velo zone. Now it doesn't say that in the Gemara, there are no Nakudas to the Gemara, but that's the similar understanding. The new Gemara is saying, I have Nakudas for this. Zona velo zone. Rashi, let me explain to you how Rashi learns these words of the Gemara. Zona velo zone. De'im nos no lo hi be'esnan muter. Let's say it's the other way around. The woman approaches the man and she says, please sin with me. And the man says no. And the woman says, I'll pay you. I'll give you this animal as payment. And the man says, okay, I'll accept. He accepts the animal. He commits the sin. Can this animal be used as a carbon? That's not the typical case. The typical case of the Torah Esnan Zona throughout Shas and Tanakh is where the man pays the woman. What happens if you have an unusual situation where it's the woman paying the man? So can the man use the animal for a carbon? Along comes Levi. Levi says, that's what I darsh the word Zona. It says Zona when you have a komatz. Zona, underneath the nun, it's feminine. That's where the man gives the esnan to the woman. The woman is the one that is the sinner. It does not say the word zoneh. Zoneh with a segel, three dots under the nun, is the masculine form of the word, which would mean that the man is the one that is being the object of sin. He's being hired to commit the sin. It says the tradition is, to their known dots in the Torah, the tradition is to read it zona, velo, the diak is zona, velo zoneh, to teach us the halacha, that it's the reverse, there is no prohibition to offer the animal as a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, wonderful, that's the Gemara. What do we take out of this? We take out of this a fascinating yisod, is that, I mean, this is a little diktok shiur, I don't know much about diktok, I'll just give a few details, is that, the feminine form of the word, of words, generally in Lashon Kodesh, when there is a komatz, it is feminine. Where there is a segel, it is masculine. The Gemara takes this so far to make Levi go so far to make a drasha. Zona, velo, zoneh. And the halacha, major nafkamina la halacha, Levi is telling us, only when the woman is paid, the woman is being viewed as the object of sin, she is being hired, then the animal is forbidden. But where the man is the object of sin, he is being hired, the animal is permitted. Now let me give you some other examples. So these are not my examples. Everything I'm telling you, most of what I'm telling you today comes straight out of the Masifta. In the back of the Masifta, they have the Aliba, the Hilchasa. They have a very beautiful thing today about all of these rules and different examples in the Torah. Now I'm not going to go look everything up, because everything will take a very, very long time to go through every single detail. Let me just give you some details by memory. By from Sukkim. We have by Rachel. When Yaakov comes to marry Rachel, so he comes to the well, and all of the shepherds are gathered around, and then all of a sudden Rachel shows up. And the Pasuk says, why was Rachel showing up to the well with all of the animals? Ki ro'ahi. She is a female, I say in feminine?
A shepherdess.
She is a female shepherd. Ro'ah, with the komats. Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it say that Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Hoya Roye'eh Eson Chosno. Moshe was a Roye'eh, with the feminine, with a segel underneath the eye. The masculine. Roye'eh Eson Chosno. He was the shepherd for the sheep of, shepherding the sheep of his father-in-law. So you see the same exact word, yeah?
Sometimes a word can be both masculine and feminine.
That's
in
true.
In other words, there may not even be a term ro or.
Yeah, but generally speaking, we have here in the Torah, we do have an example in the Torah where the Torah describes the profession of Rachel, and the Torah describes the profession of Moshe, and Moshe is described as a ro'eh, and Rachel is described as a ro'ah. So you see this principle to be 100% true. Now the Gemara is going to the extreme. It's not just a matter of how you read the Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara is making a beautiful drasha, powerful drasha out of this. That's how far it goes. Of zona v'loy zoneh, a major practical difference. Can you bring the animal as a carpet? I'll give you another example. Now this is a year about everyone laying about Torah. Parashas Pinchas, the new Parash Pinchas. This is just very simple. It's in one pasuk talking about Kozbi and Kozbi Basur and Zimri. So we have a shame. There was a man who sinned, and the prince of Shimon committed a terrible sin with this woman from Midian. And what was then the shame? Ish Yisrael Hamukeh. He was killed. Pinchas took his knife, took his sword. He stabbed them both. He killed them both in one shot. Who were the people that were killed? Who were the sinners? The shame or Ish Yisrael Hamukeh. That was smitten, that was killed by the sword of Pinchas, Mukeh, the segol, Asher who was killed with the Midianis, Zimri, but the word Mukeh is going back on the word Zimri, but both ways. I just want to focus on the next part. There are two that you can, but for like, the Shema Ish HaMukeh. The man that was killed was Zimri, the male, and the next pasuk, v'shem ho'isha hamukah, that was smitten in the feminine with a komatz. Okay, third example, the halachic example in the Gemara Esnan Zona, an example of Moshe Rabbeinu versus Rachel, another example in Parash and Tupsuk back to back in Parashas Pinchas. Now, where does this get practical halacha l'maisa? It gets practical halacha l'maisa in a form which it appears to be a contradiction. Let me read to you the halacha of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer. I just want to show that this is the exception, but I want to bring out this point so you have a little bit of an appreciation for these rules. And this is in Shulchan Aruch. I want to find the correct siman. I hope I wrote it down. I believe I wrote it down here. It's going to be a half a second. No, I don't think I wrote down the sin, so let me try to find it. It's Hilchas Pesach, Tzviras HaOmer, and it's Tuf Pei. Okay, it's Tuf Pei, and Tuf Pei Gimel, maybe? Okay, here it is, I got it. Okay, let me read over here a few words. Tav pei tes shulchan aruch tfilas lel sheni shel pesach usfiras haomer. So b'lel sheni achar tfilas arvis maschilin lispars haomer. Fine, you say tfilas haomer. Then it goes on v'tzach lispar me'umi when he's standing ulevarach tchila v'sefer hayamim v'hashavuos the days and the weeks ketzat. B'yom harishayin haomer hayom Yom Echad. Bo'omer. Here it's parentheses. Bo'omer. It doesn't really say what it is. That's a shaila. Bo'omer. Lo'omer. Fine. Okay. Okay. Ach ragia lezayin yomim ve'oz yoimar hayom shiva yomim shehem shavua echad. Uviyom ches yoimar hayom shmona yomim. Okay. I said shmona. My point I want to make with you is it shmona or shmoneh? That's going to be the question. Shmona yomim doesn't have any dots here in the Shulchan Aruch. We'll see in a moment. Shehem shavua echad, 1 week. Shavua echad, v'yom echad. Now let me read you over here the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura says, Oimrim shavua echad. The first week you say echad. Why do you say echad? There's another word, achas. Why don't you say Hayom Oh, very good. Echad v'loy achas, not achas. Why not achas? V'chein oimrim, you say shmei, you say shnei, not shtei. You could say too, you shtei with a tof, or you can say with a nun, you say shnei shavuos, v'lo shtei. Why? D'shavua l'shon zohar. Because shavua is masculine. So since we're saying, we're talking, we are going to count weeks, and a week, a shavua is masculine. Everything must follow the masculine form. Therefore, it's going to be shavua echod. Echod, the dalet is masculine. Achas, a tof, is always feminine. We're not going to follow the feminine form. Memela, once we're going to do that, the days also are going to be in the days, also are going to be in the masculine form, which stands below ad asara, until they, I may say yamim. Then you say yom. That's another general rule. It talks all different details. Okay, so we're going to say everything in the masculine form. Now, let me ask you a question. Masculine form. Let me turn to Sfiras HaOmer in the Sidur, so I can minimize the number of mistakes I make in explaining. Right, Shavua Tov, not Shavua Tova. Okay, now, let me ask you, so what if everything is masculine? So let's go now. So masculine, we're going to say Hayom Yom Echad. Okay, Echad we say Echad, we don't say Rishon, that's another discussion about, we follow the parallel of the creation of the world. The first day was Yom Echad, not Rishon, that's another discussion in and of itself. Day two, masculine, Shnei. Let's talk. Day three, Hayom Shlosha Yomim Ba'omer. Let me ask you a general question. Why is it shlosha? Generally in Hebrew, a hey added to the end of the word is an indication that it's set. Oh.
That's a question.
Oh, exactly. All right, I want to get, that's the exception. Numbers have a whole different set of rules. I'll give you an idea why it's like that, but numbers is the exception to the rule. Generally, feminine words end with a hey. Numbers are different. Therefore, the masculine form for the number three is shlosha. The feminine form for the word three, shalosh. Where do we have this example all the time? Amos and tfachim. Is an ama feminine or masculine? Ama is feminine. So how do we talk about Amos? Arba dalet Amos. Arba without a hey. Arba.
Arba
bonin, without the hay at the end. Arba, because in numbers the rule is reversed. That when it's masculine, then we add the hay. When it's feminine, we omit the hay. Amos, whatever the Gemara says, sometimes the Gemara is very, the Gemara talks about Amos, says four. You don't know the Gemara is talking about Amos or Tzvachim. If it says Shalosh, without the hay at the end, not shlosha, without the hair at the end, we're obviously discussing the feminine. Feminine, it's going to be amos, because tfachim, a tefach, is masculine. You want to say three tfachim, it would be three tfachim, it would be shlosha tfachim. You want to say amos, it is shalosh amos. Amos is feminine, therefore it's shalosha. Amos is feminine. In feminine, the rule is reversed. There is no hay, so it's shalosh. when you're discussing tfachim, tfachim is masculine, then you add the hey, it is shlosha. It is the exception to the rule. I expose same idea. And why is it the exception to the rule? So I think the reason is because you haven't said a number in and of itself is, generally speaking, in the rabbinic literature, a zohar is the nosim, is the giver. And the keva is the makabel. This is even by the goy. The zohar is the nosim. And the keva, we're not talking about society today, who makes parnasa, who doesn't make parnasa, who's smarter, who's better. Simple. A zohar is the nosim, and the keva is the makabel. This is yeah. Number is a nothing. What is a number? Number is not a noun. It's not an adjective. What is a number? A number is just a convention to count a group of items. A number by definition is a makaba. A number by definition is something which is used, which is taken advantage of in order to define other objects. So by definition, a number, even if in its strongest form, is in the feminine, because a number is being used, is being taken advantage of by objects to group together and to count. So numbers starts off in its strongest form as a feminine, meaning you add the DNA. Then when you want to go focus on counting females, the feminine, so you have no choice but to reverse it and to start and to drop the hay. It's all where you're starting off from. General nouns, there's a zohar and there's a nekeva. A zohar is missing the hay and the nekeva has the hay. A noun by definition has the characteristic of a female. It's used by other items to refer as a reference point. Therefore, in its strongest form, a number starts off with a hey, as a nekeva. When you need, for whatever reason, to use this set of numbers to count, to group together nekevos, then we have no choice but to reverse and to drop the hey to indicate that now we're dealing with something which is a double negative. The double negative turns into a positive, so the hey is missing, and it turns into what appears to be a zah. Really, so using a number to count something that is feminine is a double negative, and that's why it turns into a zah. Okay, now here's the big question. Do you come to the day 8? It's day 8, so everything so far is... is the masculine form Shavua. So it's Shavua Echad. Days we just described. Everything is going to be the masculine Shloisha Arba and Yisha. We have the Hayes. All the Hayes because it's masculine. Come to day 8. Day 8 it's going to be Shmona. It's going to be with a Hay at the end. But do you pronounce it Shmone or do you pronounce it Shmona? In this Siddur, it says Hayom Shmona. Wait a minute. Didn't we just finish learning? I gave you three different examples. When it comes to Ish Hamukeh, Isha Hamukoh, Esnan Zona, Zona Velo Zoneh, Moshe is a Ro'eh, Rachel is a Ro'ah. Here we're dealing with masculine numbers, right? Masculine numbers, Shavua Echot. And now we come to the word 8. So should it not be Shimoneh? So why then in my article Siddur does it say Shimona?
Yeah, because Shimona is masculine.
Oh, so you have to say that it's another reversal. Now who says this and this show? This is not a symbol. This is a big machlokes. But based on this idea, is it Shimona or Shimona, is a big machlokes, because do we say that since the rules of numbers have been reversed with regard to the adding and the dropping of a hay, the reversal of the rules is also applied to the nikud, the vowel of the komatz versus the segel, or do we say hay luchud v'hay luchud? We only have a tradition to reverse the rules of the hay and dropping the hay when it comes to the word itself. But as far as the pronunciation goes, pronunciation is a world to itself. The general rule is, I gave the three examples, and we have today's daf, even the halachic example, zonah v'loy zonah. If it's feminine, it's a komatz. If it's masculine, it is a segel. And that would mean over here, hayom, it should be hayom shmo neyomim. So the truth is, there are different opinions. It's interesting. You look at your siddur, different siddurim, see what it says. There are different opinions. Generally speaking, we reverse it. The same way we reverse the hay and the ending of the hay, we reverse the rule of segol versus komatz. And since it's masculine, we would normally do for masculine a segol, but being that it's in the number system, and the number system, everything is reversed, so we say shmona and not shmoneh. Okay, one last thing before we go.
Where is shmona prakim?
What?
Where is the case where we don't?
So perakim.
We say shmona prakim.
You say
shmona. Who says it's right? What?
Sometimes we slur.
Parakim is lashon zocher. Parakim. So it should be according to shmona prakim.
And in the Torah.
So maybe it is shmona prakim. Just because people say things doesn't necessarily mean this is correct. Okay, I know there are different opinions. You can't say anything is 100% wrong. It's not necessary.
Where's a case where we use, let's say, shmona for nekeva or shmona for zohar? We don't do that.
We do. If you're counting feminine, if you're counting.
No.
Oh, because sishu dehera. That's the question. That is the question.
This is what we do here. Asara debraya tishra yakaleta shmona yamevila. Those are all.
Who says it's Shmona? Maybe it's Shmona, you may mean.
Now my Haggadah says it. No.
Look in all the Haggadahs. Go into the store. Pesach time. There are 100 Haggadahs.
Maxwell House doesn't count.
But you say Arbaah Miyodeah.
No, I just...
We say Arbaah
Miyodeah, and then you change it to Arbaah
Mo. No. But before you know what it is, you don't know what it is. But right. Once you say Arbaah Imoha Shlosha of...
Okay. This is the issue. I just want to bring out this point. We see how far this goes in halacha. It's amazing. It goes so far in halacha, zona, velo zoneh, ad gnei kach to bring a carbon to Hashem. It goes so far. Mm-hmm. And we see in the Torah, and we see this rule. We also know as a given that the rules of numbers are reversed with regard to the adding and dropping of a hay. There's a question. Is that reversal also apply to the rule of the komatz and the segel or not? Yes, no. There are different opinions in this matter. Generally speaking, it is reversed. We follow the pattern of reversing everything in the Mela. The rule is shmona velo shmoneh. Now, I want to give you one other example before we run out of time. One more example. What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? What do you say? Modeh ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam. What does your wife say when she wakes up in the morning? What?
Get up, your legs.
She says modeh, but we just learned that a segol is for a zohar. So a woman should say modah. And don't tell me that. You'll tell me modah is not really... Look at the woman's siddur. Check the woman's siddur. Very good. Because it's a big machlekes, mapoiskim, what a woman should say. I'm talking, you would directly tell me, oh, this is like more like a modern... It's a Haredi thing.
Is
it a generic?
Okay, that's one issue. Wait, one second. Now, you'll tell me, wait, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Should you say moda b'mitzvahs. Woman should say moda b'mitzvahs.
No, you're talking in general there yourself.
Okay.
But
wait one second. Give me one second. Now, you'll tell me that this moda ani is nishno, is not, it's a modern addition to the siddur. But the bracha lokai nitzar, this goes back from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Elokai Nitzar, one of the brachas, the Yiduch HaShachar. And Elokai Nitzar, what do we say? There you say, Kol Zman Shai Neshama Vikir Bi, Modeh Ani Lefonecha. The reason why we say Modeh Ani Lefonecha, this Nusach, is because since most in our times our hands are not clean, ancient times they were very careful, they would sleep, they would make sure their hands wouldn't touch anything when they were sleeping. They were very disciplined. Today we're far from that, so when a person wakes up in the morning, you have to assume that he touched parts of his body which are not clean. He's not allowed to say the Shema Hashem before he washes his hands. So we today say Moda Ani as a substitute for what we really should say. When you wake up in the morning, the real thing you should say in the morning, wake up, is a Lekai Neshama. That's what you really should say. But it has Hashem's name, so you can't say Hashem's name before you wash your hands. So we substitute Moda Ani. Moda Ani really is taken from Elokai Nishama, and Elokai Nishama goes back to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and L'chor the Nusach is Kol Zman Shehan Nishama Vikirbi Modeh Ani. What about a woman? Should a woman say Modah? So you can't say a woman didn't die, because we go back, a woman does not say Shaloi Osani Isha. A woman says they created a special bracha for a woman, Shosani Kiritzano. This goes back to time immemorial. And you know, some say women should say, don't repeat this. But you know, I cannot even say. Well, there are other opinions of what a woman should say. There are different discourse of what a woman is supposed to say, or instead of Shaloi Osani Isha. But you see, you can't tell me not. You see, Chazal took care of women. They took care. They made a special bracha for a woman because a woman can't say Shaloi Osani Isha. So a woman says Shaloi Osani Kirtzana. So how come, yeah, we don't find anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, if going back, that a woman should say Modeh Ani, should say Modeh Ani instead of Modeh Ani? So the truth is, the very big machlokes apayskin. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he told the paskin. We're talking about Charedim. We're talking about real heavy right wingers. There are many heavyweight right wingers that paskin halacha l'mais, a woman should say moda. And when you say the bracha l'kayin neshama, a woman should say moda ani. When a woman wakes up in the morning, she should say moda ani lefanecha melechai v'kam. However, there are other opinions that say, like what you said, it's a nusach. It's a nusach that has been established for everyone. It's true. It's not 100% grammatically correct when it comes to women. Nevertheless, you have to. You can't go. Yeah, you can't.
It's only so far.
Only that far you can go, and there has to be a standard nusach for everyone. So it's true. It's not 100% grammatically correct, but this is the established nusach for Klal Yisrael. And in this context, when a woman says it, it means modani. It means like it means. Now, let's give you other examples. How far it goes? How far this goes? Some say you make the bracha shaloi osani goy. There are opinions. I even seen sidurim. I'm talking about charedi sidurim. I'm not talking about people who just do whatever they want. People that have sources shaloi osani goyo. A woman should not say goy, she should say goya. When it says shloya sani oved, I've seen a sitter, shloya sani shifcha. So it goes, that's how far, this is an approach in tefillah. How far does it go to personalize tefillah for a woman? Do you say shifcha, goya, moda, or you say modeh, goy, you say of it, even though really it doesn't. Oh, but Chazal was masakin for a woman shloya sani isha. I guess there you can't play around. If a woman is a woman. That I guess is an exception to the rule because that's already in your face. That's already an extreme. But it all comes. The ignorant halacha is where you wake up. It's one thing daven, okay, moda ani, moda ani. But the Gemara here, the Gemara makes a drasha. And we make a drasha, and there's a nafgamina halacha lemaisa, etznan zona, velo zoneh, and you have a different halacha, then already you're dealing with major issues. You're not just dealing with, okay, diktuk issues, and grammatically correct, and to be politically correct, and how you speak. Halacha lemaisa issues, so this is an idea which we take out of today's daf.
Yeah, but the Gemara